True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Good for California Post for stating their mission, saying what they're going to do, because they are talking directly to an audience. And some people don't want to hear this. A lot of my friends don't want to hear this stuff, whether I'm talking about the California Post or not. There is a big opposing viewpoint here in Los Angeles, and especially in California, that people do want this. And I know this, and I've read this, and I've seen this, and I've talked about this with people that, you know, our media coverage does lean one way. And you should, in a productive society, always have all viewpoints represented. And there have been people that have been talking in my ear about, like, I can't, no local, I can't even read the LA Times, I can't watch the news, da, da, da. So yes, California Post noted this, and yes, this exists, and there really is this big appetite for this. Yo, welcome to a special episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett, coming to you from Burbank, the entertainment and media capital of the world, because we are here with this bonus episode to talk about something very important in the media landscape. I have Dylan Hernandez, the first return guest ever on the podcast, as well as Jack Harris, both of whom defected from the LA Times to join the upstart California Post, which launches this week, January 26th. The California Post is a New York Post production, and they are coming in and planting their flag in Los Angeles, going very heavy in print journalism. Obviously, they're doing the digital thing as well, but the days of newspapers, and you know, I often talk about, I subscribe to both Daily News and LA Times. There's either going to need to be three in this pile, or one of these is going to disappear, because the California Post is very serious with their investment and very serious about doing journalism in California. So, Dylan, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm surprised to hear that I'm like the first repeat guest.
Well, I try not to repeat. We keep it fresh.
I see clips of like Karen Bass all the time. Is it from the same?
Karen, look, sometimes we'll get a little mileage out of some Genie Bus. You'll make an appearance. Fred Armisen will make a return appearance. But you are the first to actually return to the studio. But in all fairness, this is a different studio than last time. So
it's nice.
And Jack, welcome.
Thank
man.
You. I like that defecting. It makes it sound so like dramatic.
It is dramatic. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. As you guys know, because I've been, not because of me, but because the media landscape has shifted dramatically 5, 10, going back 20 years, going back to when Dylan and I worked together at UCLA at the Daily Bruin, and this is a story of where my mind was and where I kind of think the LA Times was. The same era that Dylan and I were there was when the Daily Bruin was creating their website for the first time. That's how old I am, right? And they were creating a website, and people, we were just kind of shoving everything into a box and not knowing how to do it. And it was really like, okay, this is secondary. This is always going to be something secondary. And as a sports editor myself, I was just like, yeah, let's do it. We need to do it. But like, who cares? Kind of. And we didn't really foresee the future. We've talked about special episodes, how the LA Times really, really was behind the everybody else as far as adapting to new media, modern media. But the whole landscape has shifted, not just because of websites, apps, but how we consume everything, social media. Nobody foresaw that. But everything has changed, and the landscape is changing all the time in real time. And when I saw the California Post announcement, I was shocked. I want to know first and foremost, before you guys joined, while you guys were still doing great writing at your respective paper, what did you first think when you saw, oh, New York Post is getting into California. This California Post thing is really happening.
I mean, I think it's always good when there are more jobs, like just in the industry, right? I mean, I didn't really think of it more than that, you know, in kind of recent years, right? ESPN LA, they tried like a local thing,
right?
You know, when The Athletic first launched, they were kind of built on a model, built around markets,
Athletic,
right?
So interesting.
It wasn't, you know, cause right now they're organized kind of by sport.
Yeah.
Right. But back then it was by market, right? Because it started in the Bay Area.
Absolutely.
They hired Tim Kawakami to be the editor there. He was kind of in charge of hiring the people and they kind of were going by market. So, you know, when they came into LA, it's like, okay, well, they're going to be X amount of more jobs.
But that, and that's a good perspective. But that was also, I'm not going to call it piecemeal, but like you said, it's market specific. And when it's part of a bigger organization, that's like, we're going to have some there, a little there, some there. And Athletic worked. I mean, they were acquired. They were acquired by the
New York Times,
right? So it worked to a certain extent, but I always was left unfulfilled as a consumer, big time sports consumer, where I was like, okay, The Athletic does have these good writers and they're hiring good people away. So there's a good story here and there. But as an avid consumer, I needed that coverage every day. And again, I believe it's still the website era, finally going into apps. But I was like, every time I go, I need more information. And The Athletic just didn't have enough. And they did a great job for what they were, but or still are, you know, the good coverage. But I needed more. What was your first reaction, Jack, when you saw the California Post coming into, I mean, coming into California / Los Angeles?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like from a bigger picture standpoint of the media, like it is... It was kind of exciting and intriguing to see that a successful paper like the New York Post, one that, you know, has a pretty big voice and share in the marketplace, saw a market like this and an opportunity to come in and try to establish another kind of daily news outlet and organization. You know, I think it reflects the opening that they probably saw and some of the areas that they could come in and improve and amplify the coverage of not just sports, but everything else in the city. And I think, you know, just kind of seeing that, seeing a place that had a vision and a commitment to try to do something different was the coolest part to me, even before like getting involved, just seeing like, OK, at a time, you know, newspapers are closing and media is becoming more stratified, to see like a legacy shop look at a place like LA and say, we can, you know, start something new here. That was kind of the intriguing part to me, to see how that was going to look.
Okay. Are you guys both giving me sort of, anodyne answers because you're now employed by the California? Cause I'll tell you what I thought. I initially thought it was a joke, almost like, is this April Fool's Day kind of deal? And I believe when they rolled out the announcement, they had that mock-up front page with Alexander Hamilton, I want to say, on the front. By the way, I will say the New York Post, oldest continuously operating daily newspaper in the United States, 1801, started by Alexander Hamilton as a rebuke to Thomas Jefferson. So we are talking a paper with a good history, great history, but one that, look, many
just
consider
it
a tabloid, right?
Well, it is a tabloid.
Yeah.
But tabloid in the true sense, yes. But right. I mean, some almost consider it tabloid in the sense of like world news that you used to see in the grocery rack where you're like, oh, fucking six-headed alien gives birth to like octopus mom or whatever. Octomom. So no, but here's the thing is I do like the New York Post's sports coverage. And now you guys are both sports. I do wish we had a bigger representation at this table, but this is a big deal and it's happening now. So I just wanted to get this on the record to have the bigger discussion. But I will say the sports coverage is good. And I like the headline and the copywriting. My friends and I have this thread where we'll often send each other actual New York Post headlines or mock up our own like punny headlines. They're great at that and great at getting attention and eyeballs, which is what this... unfortunately, market and landscape is all about right now. Are you concerned, and we're going to dive into this deeper, but just on the surface, are you concerned a little bit about your personal coverage getting misconstrued or what's a better word? Amplified incorrectly. What's the word I'm looking for here? Hyperbolized?
No. I mean, I do think... you know, because, you know, I think, again, the sports is kind of the sports, right?
Right.
I don't think, look, and yeah, I think what you're trying to kind of get at, right, a little bit is obviously...
Sensationalized, cheesy, easy words, sorry.
well, look, I do think, look, in terms of like the sports, right, and they do, right, in, you know, the back page,
Yes.
The post is like the front page, you know, of the sports section, right?
Correct.
So, look, and they're known for like the headlines back there. And to be honest, right, when they first approached me, I mean, my thought was kind of like, well, who else in this market are they going to hire to write the kind of copy that's going to lead to like a good headline in the back?
Yeah.
Right. You know, in a way, I think in that way, it's a fit.
Yeah.
Right. Now there is kind of the larger kind of picture, right? In terms of like where this kind of fits in. I mean, this is a News Corp product.
Right.
It's very right leaning.
Right.
The last time I was on your show.
Yeah.
I was going off about the Dodgers visiting the White House.
Was it the White House or ICE?
I think it was both.
Okay. Right. So that's right. Cause Dylan, you guys know Dylan Hernandez following local media because when he pops up, it's often, I don't want to say with controversy because he does some great writing, but he's been known to take some stances that are either not popular or controversial. And that's in the lineage. I got to give a shout out to TJ Simers, rest in peace, great writer, but also like to get the gloves on a little bit. And I think that that's good for journalism. I think it's good for the community to have something to talk about in that regard and to open up those discussions and dialogue. So yes, to your point, last time you were here, you were taking the Dodgers to task about what some could construe as a right-leaning set of actions, both visiting the Trump White House and for potentially, quote-unquote, supporting ICE by having them stage in the Dodger Stadium parking lot. So that, in that essence, painted you on the left, right?
Right.
Your flag's on the left. And now you're going to this entity, which many know, you know, in addition to it being a quote unquote tabloid, but as a very right leaning publication, like you said, News Corp. So address that in the sense that you go in there and now you're like, I got to put on my red hat, or how does that work?
I mean, I was joking with Jack that if they visited the White House this year, I'd call them great patriots. Right? But in all seriousness, look, everybody knows where I stand, right? The folks who hired me, I mean, this came up, you know, the way I have kind of come to right terms with this. Now you could argue maybe that I'm just justifying this to myself.
Right, right.
But the way I kind of view this, look, obviously we're in a very kind of divided social landscape.
Yeah, kind
now,
of.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that these issues are going to get solved by us not communicating at all.
Right.
Right. Now, right. Look, my job is in sports. I do think though, right, that the way a lot of people view like certain ethnic groups,
yeah,
right, it is through the lens of like famous people, right? I mean,
right.
We grew up, you know, Jack, you're a lot younger than us, but right, when we grew up, Michael Jordan was like the guy.
Core.
Right? And I would like to think, right, now I'm not saying obviously black people in this country don't have, you know, don't still continue to face a tremendous amount of discrimination.
Right.
But I also think that, you know, again, the number of kids, right, when we were kids that grew up idolizing Michael Jordan, I do think that that has kind of affected, right, social views and, you know, the way people kind of view each other.
It's fair. Yeah.
The one thing I'd like to think that I did while I was at the Times, right, was, you know, whether it was Latin guys. Now, I probably sided with some pretty, you know, bad people, maybe.
Right.
Right. Puig.
Okay.
Julio Rios.
Oh,
I mean, I thought.
Puig catches right? strays, though. Yeah, you're.
You know.
Okay.
But, you know, Manny Ramirez, in some ways, Adrian Gonzalez was a guy who, right, even though he's, you know, obviously completely bilingual, he had problems with the media in other markets.
Right. Right.
You know, and then obviously, like a lot of the Japanese guys that have come here, I do think, like, I've humanized them, right? And kind of have been able to kind of express what they're thinking, you know, kind of, right?
And to he's trilingual, by the way. So Dylan's half Japanese, half Salvadorian, and Spanish, Japanese, English fluently. So that's...
Yeah, which is why I got stuck covering baseball. But
that's a topic for another show. But yeah, go on.
Right. But, you know, I would like to think that I like humanizing these people.
Right.
Right. And, you know, maybe in some kind of subtle way, right, that... Maybe again, like with the audience, the way they view these, right? You know, the way they view these players, and maybe that affects the way they view kind of, right, these broader groups.
Right.
You know, one guy I kind of think of, you know, I kind of figured that this was going to come up and I was thinking about this, right? It was, take Hideki Irabu.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So Irabu was this guy from Japan. He threw like 100 miles
Didn't
an
they
hour.
Call him the toad?
Yeah. Right. So okay. That's what he's
going on.
Right? He came in the late 90s.
Feel bad saying that. Yeah. Go on.
He was a big guy with a very questionable work ethic and a very active nightlife.
Okay.
And
sounds like a fun guy.
It's a great combination of putting together than professional athlete.
So it did not go well for him.
Right.
Right. And it led to George Steinbrenner calling him a fat toad, which is, no, like you said, right? And it's the first thing that comes to everybody's mind.
Oh, no.
What's interesting about Irabu, though, you know, in Japan, he's actually viewed as a very sympathetic figure.
Okay.
Because he never met his father. His father was an American serviceman who was stationed in Japan, never met his dad. And the reason he came to the major league, supposedly, is because he was hoping that because, you know, he'd be famous here, that maybe his dad would like emerge, right? And he can finally meet his father. So the way people view this in Japan and the way people view him here is completely different.
Okay.
Right? And again, I'm not saying had I been around back then to write that Irabu story, that it would have excused his shitty performance.
Right.
I can cuss on this show.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Right? But I do think he wouldn't just be the fat toad in that case.
So I you know appreciate all that, but apply that to how you...
Like, again, so like I'm going to... I don't think my job really changes personally, right? And so, again, whether it's guys, you know...
But it's the affiliation that right. And again, I know you, so I'm not concerned. And I'm also somebody who loves...
Oh, so you're asking me basically how other people view me?
Yeah, and how does that... It does affect your reputation as a journalist, though.
You know? But I think a lot of that, though, you know, you can kind of tell, I think, you know, it's really like your own kind of conduct out in the field.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think whatever it is, and obviously, you know, I think there are a lot of people, right, on, say, the Dodgers that, like, don't particularly appreciate what I write.
Right.
But I think I've always been, like, very straight up with them, right? Yeah. And if I'm going to write a guy's, you know, got these issues, whatever, or not playing well or whatever it is, like, I will, whatever my thesis is, I will usually say it to the guy himself.
So,
right? And so, at least in the field,
right,
I don't think it's going to affect me because, I mean, you do see this too, right? Even people from the same paper, right? People get treated differently kind of according to like what their reputation is among those people.
Of course.
Now, as far as like what the readers think, I can't really control that, right? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to kind of go out, do what I've always done.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully over time, right? I mean, look, perceptions kind of change over time too, right?
True.
I mean, you know, when I first joined the LA Times, I was actually kind of like alarmed by the amount of, a lot of the hate mail I got was like racist hate mail.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, so weird.
And then after about 6 months to a year, they started hating me for me, right? they started hating me for the content of my copy.
All right.
No, but you know what I mean? It, like, it changes. And I think the thing is, okay, so yeah, on day one, right, maybe people that weren't familiar with what I did before are going to have these perceptions, oh, he's writing for this and this, whatever. But I think kind of over time, right, I mean, reputations are obviously built over time. And I think our primary goal here, right, and Jack and I have talked about this a lot, is to really kind of establish that if you want to read about the Dodgers, the California Post is going to be the place to go.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North convenience stores and true rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Right. Jack, and great answer on that. Jack, now, I don't know too much about your background, but the LA Times was your first major gig, right?
Yeah, I was there as a summer intern initially, and then had been there the last 6.5 years.
Where'd you go to school?
Arizona State. Didn't go to college.
Where are you from? Originally?
Good journalism school. I'm from Phoenix originally.
Oh, so you were a local boy over there and then came to LA. Well, briefly, what'd you think of LA first and foremost?
I mean, I really liked moving out here. That, like, that first summer that you don't live in Phoenix anymore, and you're here and you're like looking at the ocean every day, it kind of sinks in. Like, okay, I get why people
Where'd
live
you move?
Here. I initially lived in Hollywood, so nice. not my highest recommendation of places to live.
But right, but it's a good LA experience.
It was a very good experience. And honestly, now like you watch movies and TV shows, you start picking out like, oh, I recognize like a lot of these places.
Where are you at now? Where do you live now?
I live in Playa Vista now.
What, you like it?
Great.
You love it?
It's great. What's over there. It's 10 degrees cooler every day. It's a mile from the beach.
Are you an LA lifer?
You know, we'll see. It is still expensive here, I'll say that, but it's been a great place to be.
Well, I'm sure the California Post is helping that cost situation. I hear that they are investing. Now, a number that I was floating, I couldn't verify this. I heard this in the wind, so don't take this as a gospel, but I heard they're investing $20 million into this endeavor. Does that sound high? Does that sound low?
I actually don't know what the total. I don't have a sense. What I'd say is that it's clear they're making significant investments.
Half that budget's going to Jack, by the way.
Yeah. Look, they've hired some great people on all sides: news, entertainment, sports, some big names, and they are really doing this. And well, here before we get to that, because I want to go the whole thing on the California Post. But Jack, real quick, were you concerned, especially as a younger guy? Same question that Dylan had. Like now, all of a sudden, okay. Frankly, Jack Harris is MAGA. Let's say somebody makes that, draws that kind of conclusion, going over the everybody writing. And you know how people is, they love to paint, they paint with this broad brush. So everybody who's there must be this raging conservative.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, I think for me personally, look, when I evaluate my position, I do really admire like the sports staff that the New York Post has. I think they do a really good job, particularly in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, some of the best and kind of longest tenured baseball writers in the sport, the most influential voices have been there.
Yeah.
And I think from a bigger picture standpoint with the paper, kind of like go back to something you said earlier about how, you know, in journalism, it's good to sometimes, right, like take the gloves off, try to like be whatever it is, more confrontational,
contentious,
more investigate. And all of that is getting to, I think, something that was maybe missing in this market before, where the media market felt very comfortable, right? I think across the board, to the point where I think you sensed readers kind of looking for something different. Now, is everyone going to be looking for what the California Post is offering? Like, obviously, you know, it comes with like a certain reputation. But I think the when you look at the commitment they're making and the investment they're making to, you know, like not to toot our own horn, but hire people like us, to hire, you know, really talented people in the entertainment space, and the news and politics space. Like, I think the net benefit of it is you have a place that's going to shake up the media market a little bit and do things in a way that people here weren't doing before.
And evolving from my first impression of like, come on, this has got to be a joke or there's no way this can work, is as the days passed and the hires were announced. And then, you know, recently my friend Dylan and Jack Harris, this excellence, by the way, LA Times, still an institution, didn't in their heyday hire people fresh out of college and put them on beats. But Jack was a good writer. And I was telling him before the show, in the brief seconds that we had, I was like, dude, I thought you were twice as old by the way you write. And I meant that as a compliment because he's a very, very good writer. And by the way, Jack, so read Jack Harris. But I knew that the California Post was really like getting serious. And as you just said, this market, the LA Times, and again, I'll keep harping on because it's true. Lifetime print subscriber, digital, love it, great coverage, Jonathan Gold, et cetera, throughout the years. During the Tronc era and beyond to the present, there's been, Patrick Soon-Shiong was a brief glimmer of hope, but it's gone the wrong direction. I don't want to make this a referendum on the LA Times. But the fact is, there are a lot of people that felt like me. And yes, I have canceled my subscription and then resubscribed because I do like it. But there are a lot of people who actually have canceled their subscription. And in fact, I just saw a stat. LA Times lost $50 million last year and had a 25% drop in print circulation in 2024. Final numbers for 2025 were not released or accessible yet. But this paper is dying, no matter how you cut it. And I know that's tough to hear and it's tough to look at. And for somebody like me, when they moved out of the Times building and put the headquarters in El Segundo, even in this beautiful, shiny, up tech savvy headquarters, I'm like, you're ripping the heart out of the paper. I love El Segundo, but the paper has to be in downtown Los Angeles. That's just, it has to be in the greater like center of Los Angeles area. That's how it is for reporters to have access, to have people want to go to the newsroom because the newsroom is still energy and lifeblood. And that move by Patrick Soon-Shiong showed me that there wasn't really an understanding of journalism. And I know he's looking at the future, blah, 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 and our brilliant kitchen, all this kind of stuff downstairs. But the fact is the LA Times numbers continue to decline. And I continue to hear the chatter about what a terrible paper it is, or how liberal it is, or how can you trust him, blah, blah, blah. And gradually, I've moved over to the Daily News, which is, quote unquote, inferior writing or journalism. But they're covering stories and they're staying local. And now I tried to see their numbers. Their numbers weren't really accessible. I know it's part of Southern California News Group, so it's a little bit bigger picture. But the fact is, the market and the landscape is wide open in Los Angeles, and people want a paper. And there was a number that I read. The New York Post readers, the second largest concentration of New York Post readers currently is in Los Angeles. 3.5 million unique visitors a month. And we know there's a lot of New York transplants. There's a lot of people who love New York and want to, and still consider New York the epicenter of news and of journalism and want to read this paper. So with the LA Times being too liberal slash failing, or the Daily News being, you know, just a paper that's kind of like your local paper that'll give you the stories, there really is an opportunity for somebody with the deep pockets like the California Post, to your point, Jack. So that had to be what they saw. What else is it, though? Is there something else there, or is this is strictly like we're going for the revenue? It's not a big money making industry. So what is it? Is it a political move? Can you guys speak to that? What are the greater goals behind this?
I want to correct one thing real quick.
All right.
Okay. The move to El Segundo.
Yeah.
The building in downtown was sold by previous ownership.
Right.
Right. So then the rent kind of escalated. And so
still the Times building. Harrison Gray Otis rolled over.
Like the Soon-Shiongs, I really feel tried.
Yeah.
Right. And so, right.
Tried, but he's also doing this number, by the way.
Well,
But
when he first bought it, I mean, we went like on a hiring spree.
I was fully supportive of Soon-Shiong. By the way, Patrick Soon-Shiong accepted an invite to this podcast and then rescheduled, and we've yet to hear back. So anybody's got his ear. Well, let's talk here, okay, because so, we really got
to. Anyway, I just wanted to put that a lot of kind of the situation he inherited, obviously.
And by the way, losing there, what was the whole situation with the printer? Because I know.
Again, that got sold too.
But as an avid newspaper reader, again, first you take out the box scores. I get it.
He sold. And then it wasn't him. Previous ownership sold.
You got to do something.
And then
you
the have lease one is
in
just.
House. You got to have. You're the LA Times. Well, you got to print keep your in own mind, papers.
We were,
and you can't
look,
have
we were,
a 5 p.m. deadline.
I can't believe like I'm going to bat for this guy as hard. I mean, given that like, we had like a 3-year union battle, right, to renegotiate our CBA there, but just in the name of fairness, right. Yeah. Again,
the LA Times, though. There's no excuses to build a new Times building, get a new printing press that you control.
But he bought the thing like at the last minute, because if not, the thing was going to get like cut up into pieces and like sold off to one of those like hedge fund run things, right? And then the thing would have gone completely blown apart.
Okay, so let's get to the post.
Here's the thing. I think, right? And it was kind of more, I mean, honestly, I think Jack kind of helped me see the light on this one a little bit. Cause, you know, honestly, like I wasn't, you know, and I grew up here and I'm kind of a dinosaur, right? Yeah. And
Dylan from South Pasadena, by the way, former soccer superstar.
And growing up, right? As soon as I wanted to get into journalism, you dream of working for a paper like the LA Times. Yep. You know, I'm a soccer and boxing guy.
Yeah.
And I would have been happy being the boxing writer at
Lance
the LA Times.
Pugmire.
And, you know, and, right, by some fortune, they let me cover the Dodgers. Then they gave me a column. I didn't really have any intention of leaving. I was never really looking around. Now, I think, though, right, and Jack, I think, is a little bit more in tune with kind of, right, because he actually kind of is young.
Yeah.
right. But I think kind of one thing that he kind of pointed out to me was the fact that, like, look, we can basically go ahead and do the same work.
Yeah.
Right. But these people are going to help get that work out more.
Right.
Right. And I think, you know, even some of the things that we did well there, it almost kind of felt like we, I don't know how to say this. You know, they just, right, we didn't do a great job of, like, getting our work out there.
Look.
Especially, like, online. And the one thing here, you know, like, look, when we first, one of the first meetings we had with our sports editor, we told him, like, look, like, we need to, you know, at the times we had the Dodgers debate, kind of weekly Dodgers show with Plaschke. That thing did pretty well.
Like, yeah.
I mean, but it did well relative to the other content that they produced, right? It wasn't doing great.
Look, the LA Times never figured out the formula on how to amplify the paper and their writers. And New York Times has been fully entrenched in social media and the constant narrative, and they do a great job. But they also have... They embraced new media from the beginning, but they embraced digital from the beginning, and they've just done a fantastic job. And the LA Times was always playing catch up, whether it was just using their website, their terrible e-newspaper, which they finally improved a little bit, but the e-newspaper, or even things like Delos. Like, first of all, the Jen Harris food show should have blown up. The Delos, when they had like the, now we're going to have a Latino forward news coverage, entertainment, sports, that perspective in freaking Los Angeles. That was a no-brainer. And it felt like everything was on a short leash. If they didn't see an ROI right away, then they would pull back. And Delos, like, still exists, but I'll see like one article in print every 2 weeks, and even online. Like, so the LA Times was never, and still isn't, able to like figure that out. Obviously, the New York Post has.
We talked about this last time, right?
Yeah.
That because of the size of the company, sometimes it's really kind of hard to pivot, right?
Tell that to the New York Times.
You know,
But hold on. So I want to know, okay, Jack, I want your answer. What is the California Post? What is the New York Post's agenda in California? News Corp's agenda in California?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if... I think it's easy to maybe conflate the way stuff gets covered with having a clear agenda. I think coming out here right now, the message they've given us, and again, we're covering baseball. It's not quite as high stakes.
I don't know. After that whole ice saga,
But I mean, that's a good example, right? And I think, you know, to be frank, like, if you had an agenda about, you know, well, we want to push a certain narrative from a certain political leaning, Dylan probably wouldn't be the sports columnist, especially covering the Dodgers. And that's why, like, to me, it comes back to a place that, like you said, citing those numbers, recognizing, okay, there's already a large audience of California-based readers that are going to other places, like the New York Post website, to read about stuff that's happening in their communities, about stuff that's happening nationally. We see a media market that, you know, could use an infusion of energy, a different kind of voice and approach, right? And I think the thing between, like, the voice and approach gets conflated sometimes with maybe, like, oh, there's an agenda. Look, they cover things in a different way, right? Like, I think the tagline we've been using is, like, common sense coverage, but that's part of it. And it's going to be a very different kind of voice than I think the places that have been here before.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be one that I think pushes on, whether it's in our space covering sports or whether it's entertainment or politics, like, is going to, you know, in my vision, add to the overall, like, coverage of the city, the information that's available to people.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's going to come again from a different perspective and a different, editorial stance viewpoint. But I think when it comes to the actual people that they're hiring and the people that will be doing the reporting and the journalism, it's not coming with an agenda. It's coming with, you know, we want to hire good people to cover the things in this city that matter.
Right.
And then be able to promote it and platform it in our way that we've seen, you know, is effective even with our New York Post website in reaching a California audience.
I'm writing these two words down because I want to come back to them. Hold on. Appetite, because there is absolutely an appetite for this news, whether some people like it or not. And then local coverage. But before I get into both those, I want to read what I'm calling a mission statement. This is just, I don't know if this is PR. I don't know if what you guys call this officially, but the January 5th announcement of the announcement that, California Post put out, where they're like, we're really coming to town. We're really doing this. Let me read this verbatim. Okay. So this is what the California Post, I don't want to call it an agenda, but this was what their statement was. A new era of common sense and accountability arrives in California. It'll be a defining year for this great state, and the California Post will be in the middle of it all. We've assembled a crack team of reporters at our new newsroom on the Fox lot in Century City, and their mission is to tell the stories others won't or can't. and vitally to bring a common sense approach to the issues we cover and how we cover them. We will be proudly representing the values of everyday hardworking Californians. They will be at the center of all we do, not the elites, the powerful, or the corrupt. From January 26th, we will be setting the agenda, entertaining and disrupting the status quo. Already, the reaction to our arrival and investment in journalism in this state has been so positive. People are tired of legacy media. They want change. And that starts on January 26th. All right. So there were a lot of overt and intuitive.
I mean, if you take it literally, though, right?
Well, you can take it literally or read into it. And I think we're saying,
if you look at it literally, I mean, do you think that I write for the elites?
No. And now this is the thing. And New York Post, I mean, California Post sent me some non-sports people so I can have a cut. But no. This is not absolving you guys, but it's also like you said, sports are the great escape. And that's why we love it, because we don't need to deal with all that bullshit when we're talking about sports. Usually. Yeah. Although, again, to your credit, you guys do address it. But here's one thing I do want to say. And there's a lot of coded verbiage in there, and there's a lot of literal verbiage in there. Good for California Post for stating their mission, saying what they're going to do, because they are talking directly to an audience. And some people don't want to hear this. A lot of my friends don't want to hear this stuff, whether I'm talking about the California Post or not. There is a big opposing viewpoint here in Los Angeles, and especially in California, that people do want this. And I know this, and I've read this, and I've seen this, and I've talked about this with people, that, you know, our media coverage does lean one way. And it's funny, because I've done a lot of work with Fox 11, Fox in LA. People like, people used to say, I can't believe you'd go on Fox, you know, to talk about my stuff, to talk about like the friggin' Zahn Hamadre and Alvera Street, right? They're like, I can't believe. And I'm like, dude, they're celebrating the city. Leave the politics. But Fox 11 in LA isn't even a conservative station. Like, even they, like Alex Michelson, my man, by the way, and congrats on the CNN gig, but he's as straight down the middle as you can. Marla Tellez, she's great. Nobody like leans right off. But for LA, that was a right leaning station. And maybe you do need, maybe you should, in a productive society, always have all viewpoints represented. And there have been people that have been talking in my ear about, like, I can't, no local, I can't even read the LA Times, I can't watch the news, da, da, da. So yes, California Post noted this, and yes, this exists, and there really is this big appetite for this, which I know they see. So does that translate to dollars? And you know what? I'm almost hoping that it is capitalistic first and foremost, where they're just like, woohoo, we're going to make so much money on that. But there is an agenda behind that, and they're pushing, and they're smart. I mean, that's how politics is. And that's the name of the game as far as appetite. What were you going to say?
Well, as long as the stuff's true, right? Like, right. I don't have a, you're right. Like, I know your friend Karen Bass, whatever, right? Like, I don't think going after her is necessarily like, again, as long as the stuff's true, like, I have zero issue with any of this, right? And I think that this will be like a good thing. And I do kind of, you know, when on our first day there, we had like a little orientation.
Have you been in the Century City?
Yes, I've been there like almost every day.
How is it?
Terrible. The drive. I'm going from Pasadena.
To be clear, he was talking about the drive was terrible.
No, the office is nice.
Dylan seems to be 10-minute commute.
Pasadena, it's an hour and a half each way.
Ooh,
like, I might as well be in fucking San Diego. Well, I can't wait for the season to start.
Welcome to most people's normal lives.
Yeah, welcome to LA.
No, it's like just my 10-minute.
How's your commute?
It's like 45 minutes to an hour to the ballpark.
But no, to the newsroom.
The newsroom. I like 20 minutes.
And is it, my side did they now. Go nice? I saw that backdrop, the red backdrop with the California Post. But is it a nice office? Is it big? Does it feel like a newsroom?
Yeah, it feels like a newsroom. It's a little bit smaller.
Because again, when I went, and I'm not dumping on the other time, but the times I've been to the El Segundo newsroom, it doesn't feel like a newsroom, and it feels, I'm sure it's a little
Just because nobody's there.
That's a big problem, though. Like, and I got to give a shout out to a random, and this segues into my next point. I went to USC Annenberg School of Journalism, right? I
you
spoke
did?
There. Thank you.
Oh,
myself
you went to go
no, I give it to great students. Great. But you know what impressed me, man? And I loved it. And I hearkened back to my daily Bruin days. It felt like a newsroom, and there was the energy and there was the buzz. And I heard people talking about stuff. What was going on that day? It was something with like interest rates, like a kind of a niche, you know, nuanced story. But like people were talking about the, and I was like, oh, I love this. This is like what a newsroom really should be. And I think that that helps reporters stay energized.
I agree. It's, you know, and it actually became kind of like a, one of the sticking points, right, with the time.
Yeah.
When we're having our union renegotiation, right? And like, look, this is kind of easy for me to say because I never go in the office because I cover sports. But I was a big, right? And the union was actually fighting for the right to like work from home,
yeah.
right? And obviously, the management wanted us to go back because right. Soon Shiong had invested in this building. But I was like a big thing of like, no, you got to get people in the building, right? Because
correct,
I do think with news, you know, a lot of it is just like, just in case shit happens, right? And there's so many events that we're at just in case something happens. And look, like, I think most days,
yeah.
the truth is people can be, right? The desk, the copy desk, all the editors can be at home.
Yeah.
There will be those handful of days, though, that being in the office matters, you know? And so.
Tell that to Ben Royer when he was covering women's basketball. He was the only journalist at a UCLA women's game. Yeah. And again, this is not the biggest story, but right. to your point, he happened to be the one reporter. UCLA women's basketball, by the way, powerhouse this year. National championship,
her, by the way.
Aspirations.
He wasn't there.
No.
He called her by phone.
You sure? Yeah. Because she gave right. props by name, though. Right.
But he called her that day. He called her.
So, but
anyway, you know. So
you're there in case something happens, right. and you get a story. But go on.
Right now, like, look, we're not. We haven't right at the time that we're taping this. I think it's going to come out on lunch day, but we haven't actually put anything out yet. So it's but people are in there, right? There is like a certain kind of energy there. But kind of one thing I wanted to go back earlier about the right. We met with Nick Papps, the managing editor.
Yeah.
And. Kind of like, I think
California Post editor-in-chief Nick Papps, who's also doing it for New York Post. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Just,
but he, you know, kind of like, I think what he kind of stressed was just like aggressive reporting.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's kind of what we want. Right. I mean, when we, you know, now I find this kind of like, I do feel very kind of old man yelling at the clouds when I start talking about this, but like, there is kind of a certain level of aggressiveness that I feel we don't have with a lot of like younger reporters, right?
Time.
I think a lot of this is kind of like cultural, right? There's also probably less payoff these days to kind of be aggressive, which is why, you know, like, I mean, I was very upfront with them. I was like, you don't get Jack, I'm not going, right? Because when you do find somebody younger, that has kind of those reporting chops. Yeah. I think it's kind of rarer now than it used to be.
So rare. I think, you know, it's also been institutionalized
in
society.
Yes. Well, because what happened before, right? And you were a Times intern, right? At some point, like, you know, you almost felt like pressured into like asking, right? What you would call, I guess, the asshole question.
Right.
You know, because I don't think it's a coincidence that, like, you know, up to like a certain point, and it's very clear by like kind of hiring date, like everybody before, like that was hired before like a certain time, could ask those questions, and then everybody afterwards, they were a little bit more reluctant to get to that.
Right.
And so, you know, again, about this kind of larger point about, right, the way things are going to be reported and stuff. Again, as long as the stuff is true, and as long as the backbone of that is kind of, again, aggressive, hard-nosed reporting, I have zero issue with it, right? Because I do think, like, look, like, what? So we're going to give somebody a pass because they're a Democrat? Like, no, like, there's a reason, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who's in charge. Like, our country's kind of been in, let's be honest, right? It's been, I would argue Western civilization as a whole has been in decline for quite a while now.
Man, that is a
but,
big and
right? And now you could argue
statement.
That things get progressively, right, a lot worse with one party in charge than the other.
Okay.
But it's not like the other, you know, parties, right? You know, you can absolve them of any responsibility in this whole thing.
Right.
So no, like I'm all for calling people out and stuff. And again, it's as long as it's true and as long as it's well reported, again, I have no issue with it.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North convenience stores and true rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
That. Okay, let me throw something out that Jack also addressed. Local coverage is so important. And there is, and I got to say this, in Los Angeles, there are some organizations that are doing great work locally, smaller. LA Taco, I did a lot of partnerships with. LA Local just rolled out. Michelle Siqueiros, they're going to start in like Koreatown, Pico Union, but with some really part of the... what's that journalism project? There was like a local journalism project that was giving grants to a lot of different cities and organizations. And they got some good money to put together good staff, but they're starting very local. Boyle Heights Beat is like under that umbrella. And Boyle Heights Beat actually does fantastic reporting. San Fernando Sun does. So these organizations exist. And the way that they can survive, which is a much different model than what California Post is going to do, is because they are so hyper local that at that point, you know, your advertising dollars and your eyeballs are more valuable because you are targeting these specific cities, these specific areas, these specific neighborhoods. Now, California Post, and we've been talking about LA, we're all LA folk, but you're going to cover all of California? Is that the 40 million plus people? How can the California Post come in and do that?
I mean, it's starting with an LA focus, obviously.
Okay, that's true? They're not rolling this out this hard in San Francisco?
Now, there's, you know, already kind of like ideas, I think, of like in the future what this will look like. But, you know, there's a reason like the newsroom is here and that, you know, in sports, we're focusing on the LA teams.
Interesting. Okay.
But, you know... This is where, kind of back to my original answer about what was exciting about seeing a place like this come in here.
Yeah.
This is where like the resources and the investment pays off, right? Is because if you go and hire people that know the city, that understand the beats that they're covering, you know, that understand maybe where things weren't getting covered as well enough before.
Yeah.
Like that's how you can figure out, okay, what are the important things that are happening in LA? What are the stories that people here are going to care about? And, you know, that's where like... Again, when you see, you know, I think all the places you bring up, they're good examples because there is a lot of good, like, alternative, different kind of media coverage, journalism that happens here that probably slips a little bit through the cracks of, you know, more like legacy media organizations. And so that's where I think if I was a news consumer in L.A., I would be interested to see like what the California Post does.
You
look at the commitment and investment that, you know, our paper is now making here.
Yeah.
I think at least for us on the Dodgers, it's going to lead to better and more interesting and innovative coverage. I think that's going to be true across the sports department. I think that'll be true across the paper at large, especially as it continues to grow. And, you know, kind of we figure out like where that audience is for us.
Do you guys have any insight as to far local news angle in Los Angeles, how or what they're going to cover?
I mean, I don't know if there's a...
You know me. I only care about myself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's like a specific angle. I think it's, you know, again, in the same way, like we're making a jump from one place to another, kind of doing similar jobs.
Yeah.
Just hopefully in a, you know, again, a more kind of vibrant and interesting way.
Yeah.
I think that's what you'll kind of see across the newsroom.
Because it's rough. I mean, look, you see LAist, KCR, any public radio or media, I mean, is getting hammered. CSUN Sound, just to name a radio station, you know, all the funding taken away. So it's rough time. So it's interesting to see California Post and then it's sort of come together that they're filling this void. But the concern is, will it really reflect the community and the community's voice and the community's news? And I think that's important and something that I'm going to be looking for first and foremost. But on that line along sports and the community, here's something. And Dylan and I have had side conversations about this. Shout out Eric Sondheimer, your former colleague at the LA Times and formerly of the Daily News. I think he's going on like 50 years or something soon. He covers the hell out of local sports and high school sports. And we chuckle, but it's important. And this is how I grew up. It's one of the foundation stories of LA in a minute because I love Daryl Strawberry going to Crenshaw, facing off against John Elway of Granada Hills at Dodger Stadium with the city championship on the line. and everything that's transpired since, great local athletes. Does the California Post have any prep coverage, especially now that prep sports are the new college sports, because college sports are the new pro sports, and LA is the epicenter of all that. You got million-dollar players in LA high schools right now. Like, so what is there a plan for prep coverage, or did you guys hire anybody local to cover that?
So we haven't hired anybody for that.
Okay.
I think everything's going to be kind of under consideration, right? I mean, the good thing is, I
know Sondheimer said in writing he's never going to leave. He's been having thoughts about the California Post.
Yeah. Look, so. And I think, I mean, the good thing is we're kind of starting with like a blank slate.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a extremely well-funded startup, but it's still a startup, right? Now, I think the good thing about this is we're going to be able to kind of adjust, right? Be a little bit more nimble on our feet if something's working, if something's not. I think everything's going to be kind of under consideration, right? Yeah. I mean, I've certainly had conversations with people about that.
California Post cover prep. I'm telling you, it's going to be fruitful. It's going to be lucrative. People really care about this stuff. I ran a story. There was a girl, Westlake High School girls basketball. She got 25 steals in a game. National record. And you're like, it's high school, but it's video. It's substantiated. And I'm like, that's the kind of story. I know it sounds minor, but all these prep stories add up. And by the way, the LA preps often turn into pro superstars. So you guys get them early. You have the relationship early. California Post, do that.
And I'm with you about that, right? And we love these local stories.
It's important, man.
What was it? A week or two ago, we had lunch with Dennis Gilbert, the former power agent. And he told
Arizona guy, right? Isn't he?
No, he's from here. Oh. He grew up in LA. Okay. And actually, he told us a story about how Doc Ellis beat him up in the boys' bathroom in middle school.
Wow.
And they became like lifelong friends after that. I hadn't heard that. That was a great story. You know?
Sometimes.
And so, I think, you know, kind of to your point, right, is that like, look, if we can't build a sense of community, right, around this paper, like it's probably, right, the chance of it doing well in maybe ways that we want it to, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So it's going to be kind of up to us to kind of find that. And how we get there, like, I don't know, right? I mean, we're all kind of, you know, we're all kind of starting from scratch here. I mean, I think we're kind of under the assumption. Obviously, we're going to cover, Jack and I are going to cover the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's kind of a known quantity. It's the most popular team in town.
Of course, so the Dodgers, you're going to get the clicks.
As long as we don't fuck this up, I think we'll be okay. But as far as the other stuff goes, right, in terms of like what we cover, like what we emphasize, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even at the, you know, and I assume we're going to have a budget, right? And you know, then you have to kind of start prioritizing things, right? What are we gonna, you know, what do we emphasize over other things? And those were decisions, you know.
You guys have Kings coverage. You guys have soccer coverage. What are you guys planning for World Cup? You know, privy to these conversations?
So right now, everybody in sports
NBA All-Star
will be credentialed.
That's
gonna
be
your
first big event, right? The NBA All-Star.
You know, but the World Cup, for example, I think this is actually a good example of this, right? Like every single person in sports will be credentialed for the World Cup.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Now, I think, again, right?
John Heyman came down, didn't he? Wasn't he hired? Wasn't John Heyman?
He's still in New York. He's still with
But didn't you guys hire him, though?
No.
Oh,
I mean, he's already.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know.
Who was the big name? There was a big name like California Post Sports, right? Bigger than Dylan, bigger than Jack.
No, nobody bigger
than Jack. Okay, go on.
No, but I think the fact that, like, all the sports writers are going to be credentialed for the World Cup.
Right.
It's kind of a thing that we're keeping our options open, right? Like, look, like if there is something going on, right?
You're the guy to write about that, though.
You know,
but that's right.
But I think, and I think as we kind of go here, right, that's going to be kind of in the decision-making process. I mean, like, right, the sports editor, Ryan Costeca, told me, like, hey, like, you want to cover the World Cup? Right, you can do that. But I think right now we kind of have...
Ryan Costeca, shout out, wish you could be here, buddy.
You know? You're right. But I think we're going to kind of see where this is going, right? Yeah. It'll be like a few months into the baseball season, and if I feel my time's better spent, right, with the Dodgers and just kind of continue to build that audience, that's what I'll do. If I think... Right. Something's going on with the U.S. team that, right. And again, I know people
Seems like a big opportunity.
But the point is that we're not like locked into any decision right now. And I think we have the ability to kind of respond to whatever the situation is. And, you know, hopefully, again, we are able to find our way.
cover the local. It matters, and it's going to pay off. World Cup is a big, sounds like, especially putting Dylan Hernandez, soccer guy, trilingual on that, sounds like a big, big opportunity, because the Times, Daily News are not going to cover it as well, and the other coverage can be more national, more macro. I think it's pretty, but I got to go back just to the prep coverage in LA. By the way, shout out the Sierra Canyons, Notre Dame, Santa Margarita, just won the, I think it was national champion. I know they won the state championship. Carson Palmer story. There's so many local stories. Harvard Westlake has three freshmen, Nate Englander, Mateo Meyer, Lewis Lappi. They're going to be a powerhouse for 4 years. I mean, like, this stuff needs to be covered, especially now because the dollars in those schools are so big and people in these communities really do care about that. But that's just my suggestion and as far as sports is concerned. Now, question to you guys about your colleagues when you announced, when you made this announcement or made this decision, Jack, who did you tell first and what was the reaction?
Who did I tell first? I mean, probably outside of like the official word to our old bosses, like obviously like Bill Plaschke to both of us, wow. You know, be one of the parts like I miss the most is being able to work with him,
yeah,
do our show with him. I don't remember like the kind of the line of communication. All kind of happened pretty quickly a couple months ago.
How were the reactions?
You know, I think like it's a mix of excitement for you and a new opportunity and disappointment to be losing a teammate. I mean, obviously we've had a lot of people in the Time Sports section, at least, that have left over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's part of that too. And, you know, I know they're, looking to fill our jobs, which is a good sign, you know, for where the Times is at. But yeah, it was, I mean, for me, it was really bittersweet, you know, like
how long were you at the Times?
6.5 years,
wow.
Which, you know, for me is my whole career.
Yeah.
And like, I owe a lot to, you know, getting a start there and getting to work with people like Dylan and Plaschke and learn this industry and how to do the job well, in that kind of environment.
Were people pissed though? Did anybody?
I don't know if anyone was pissed. I mean, I think again, it kind of hits back to from the minute that the Post announced that they were going to come out here.
Yeah,
I think there was, you know, an expectation that obviously they would target some people from the Times and that they were going to present, you know, an enticing and an exciting opportunity. So from that standpoint, you know, it wasn't. I don't think there are any hard feelings, especially among like the people you work with.
Dylan, you had a long entrenched relationship with Plaschke, everybody over there. Were people pissed? What was the reaction on your end? Because
yeah,
again, you're also higher profile columnist default. Your face is in the paper, you know.
He's more valuable, though, in a way. I mean, he actually does the labor.
He's a great writer, and I truly enjoy reading his stories.
I'm a volume shooter.
But
we're giving the ball to Dylan at the end of the game, though.
You had, what, 18?
18 years,
ooh,
yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
What did people say, man?
So I called, Plaschke was the first call, right?
Yeah.
And I told him before I told, like, anybody. No, he was, I mean, he got it, right? He understood. I mean, he was very gracious about it. He was happy for me.
He's also of an even older generation than you, and he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. You know, right? I mean, God, I mean, it's the list of people I talked to, you know, Bill Dwyer, who's retired now and living in Baltimore. I think he, you know, got it. Gary Klein, right? The Rams writer. And just overall, just like this wonderful human being,
right?
You know, Bill Shaken, who was a guy that when I started at the Times and I was on the Dodger beat.
Yeah.
He was a national baseball writer. So he and I worked together a lot.
He's a great writer too.
Yeah. You know, right. Ben Bolch, who has since joined us.
Right.
Brad Turner, who's become just like a really, really good friend of mine.
Lakers.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the thing, right? Is that it's not just that, right. These weren't just professional relationships. I mean, I realized like during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Or coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
When we couldn't really travel yet, I was like, man, I have like no friends. but then what kind of hit me actually is like, no, like actually all my friends are like in the industry, right? Right. I actually have a lot of friends. They're just scattered all over the country, whatever, you know.
That's how it turns out.
And yeah, like, I mean, these are people that, you know, I just went to, right, because right now, so the New York Post and us, we're going to be sharing content, right? So like right now, so I just covered the Rams playoff game
okay.
for the New York Post, basically.
Yeah.
you know, and to be honest, like, I call Gary, right? Hey, Gary, where are you staying? You know, like, because I can't, I can never find my way into the will call thing at these stadiums because I've never, you know, I don't travel that much for football. So, yeah, but these are like friends, right?
What about,
so from that standpoint, I think it was kind of hard.
What about leadership on the business side, though? Nobody was pissed, you're leaving. And then secondarily, do they counter it? Does the LA Times even have the resources, willingness, drive to counter? Or are they like, bye, that's another one. All right, there's another one. Like,
you know, I think...
I'll let you take it.
I mean, they countered.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
paper that lost $50 million reported last year doesn't have a lot to
counter, you know.
All right. So they tried. They made the olive branch of at least wanting to keep you. Yeah. Like,
and I think, look, like, and like Jack said, right, they're going to, you know, my understanding is they're going to replace me, they're going to replace Jack, and they're going to replace Ben Bulch.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there's still some fight left in them.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's kind of, you know, again, I think kind of more than anything, just to, right, overnight, just like lose, you know, like Jack said, we've lost people kind of gradually over the years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, when, right, have we just like lost, did we ever lose like three at one time?
No. I mean, except for the layoffs. When they lay off 20% of the newsroom and then did it
again. Yeah, actually those were, right. And those, I mean, this is like a little bit, but like, those were pretty devastating, right, in a way, just because it's... Again, just the loss of institutional knowledge, the loss of, you know,
part of your,
right? And again, I think, you know, I mean, I would like to think that whoever they hire to cover the Dodgers, right, and fill our positions, that at least for the first couple of years, they're going to be, right, playing catch up, right?
By the way, do you guys automatically get credential for everything? Like, California Post not going to have any problem getting the same credentials. I don't know, remember how that
binds. Our credentials are in the mail.
Yeah, well,
baseball.
Well, so baseball works differently than the other sports, because baseball.
Of course it does.
The writers were so influential, like in the kind of the foundation of baseball, right?
I wouldn't say that, but I understand what you're
saying. Like, I mean, it was a pre-TV sport,
correct,
right? So the writers like helped build it.
Okay, fair.
And you know, right, one of the things that gives us power is the fact that the awards, the MVP awards, the MVP award that Babe Ruth won is the ones the writers vote for right now, right? And so you're right, the league has actually tried to come up with their own like players' choice awards but it doesn't have the same weight. And so one of the benefits of being part of the baseball, right, the what is it, BBW,
baseball writers association of America,
right, job, is that that's done at the league level. And so you get a credential that will get you entry into like any
stadium. So it's a Dylan Hernandez or Jack Harris credential, not a California Post baseball credential.
I mean, you know, as long as you're in the association, right, and you pay your dues, you get this credential that'll get you entry into any ballpark. Now, playoffs are obviously a little bit different, but, you know, say with the NBA, you're on the road.
Yeah.
You have to reach out to that team to get credential for that
the
game.
The organization California Post does, or the person Jack Harris?
Either.
Okay. This is a quick, be quick on this. After 10 years as a baseball writer, you get to vote for the Hall of Fame. Dylan, you did not because the LA Times doesn't allow their writers to vote. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Do you get a vote now? A,
well, I was just wondering this earlier today.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Because, you know, Manny Ramirez, Dodger legend from Dylan's tenure.
Absolutely. Second half that he was here was one of the most exciting times in my life at Dodger Stadium, including these recent World Series. But go on. Sorry.
Friend of the media, was he?
He was a friend of Dylan.
Okay. But yeah, I would have loved to see if Dylan would vote for him for the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yeah.
Complicated case.
I mean, this is one of those cases where I might just kind of abstain now that I think about it, because I mean, to me,
you said you would give me your ballot.
Oh, don't do that. Then he will lose.
Just kidding. Dan Le Batard, like, ruined that one.
It's the Dan Le Batard rule.
He said we'd have a discussion about his value. But yeah, you better get a vote one day, man. I spent so much time on text talking about this with my friends when it's Hall of Fame time.
Maybe when I retire.
Last week, like, they just announced it.
Yeah, but like, look, I mean, to me, it does start with Manny, right? Yeah. This discussion. Because like, if you look at it from like an ability standpoint.
Well, hold on. I don't want to talk about who's in, who's out. Yeah. I just want to know, do you get a vote now?
I guess so.
California
think so.
Post, yeah. Give this man his vote.
Yeah, but I don't want to know because like
give it. Give it. Doesn't matter what he says. Give it.
I don't know if
we're gonna be voting on the awards now too every year.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. Dude, that's great. Okay.
Yeah, but like, well, but there's a reason why the Times didn't allow that, right? Which is you don't want to be the guy making the news.
And nowadays you probably do though. And the papers probably do want you making news.
Yeah, maybe. You know? I mean, but if a guy, you know, a guy, I just go back to like that Matt Kemp, Ryan Braunier.
Oh, man.
And I just remember thinking like, oh, thank God, like we weren't like voting, right? Because that was a close vote. And like,
so close.
You know, look, like that season, like I watched Matt Kemp every day. Like to me, he was the MVP, you know. So
Ryan
I vote
Braun,
for him.
Granada Hills High School, by the way.
They, you know, I vote for him and he wins and like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just brings up too much.
In 2026 and beyond, it's fine. Okay, let me ask you this. Has the long-term vision of the California Post been posited to either of you guys? Or what does it look like to you? And let's just say even 5 years. Jack, go first.
I mean, I think it looks ideally something like the New York Post does on a especially like a local level, right? A really good sports page, a lot of good local coverage that people care about. I think the entertainment side, especially here with what they're going to want to do with Page Six, is going to be a unique thing that I'm sure will find a pretty large audience. And, you know, again, like I think you're also going to see all of this coverage packaged and presented and promoted in a way that we just haven't really seen like a bigger operation in LA do, at least, you know, in the time I've
recently
been here. And, you know, it goes back to the fact that they have kind of a built-in audience that is conditioned to reading the Post already, that there are people here that probably don't feel served by the two current papers.
Unsubscribes from LA Times,
and even, you know, when it comes to like our baseball coverage, you know, like Dylan was saying earlier, sometimes it's hard to turn the ship when you're at a place that has been based on a print product for so long that so much of just like the overhead and the organizational structure is built that way. I think even with us, right? Like we had pretty early deadlines when we were writing for the Times.
Yeah, I know.
When it came to writing about baseball, can make it a little difficult, especially when you're here.
How about this one? I'm fucking looking at the Rams winning the game 2 days later. Like, are you kidding me? Like, right. Okay, go on.
And I think we're now at a place where
2 days later,
you know, I think if you're a lot more of our time and energy is going to be spent, you know, probably not worrying about like how to fill out the print budget and more about how do we do engaging reporting.
And they let you guys with go and run Ram. Yeah.
And that's going to look, it's going to mean the content and the kind of approach to our stories online is going to look different. I think it's going to mean, you know, a more, like I said, kind of engaging set of like multimedia and kind of complimentary pieces, whether it's a video podcast thing we do, whether it's just like newsletter.
Are they giving you guys a lot of this new, hate to use that term, digital direction?
No,
you guys getting platforms? Is it going, and I saw the California Post Instagram, small so far, but you know, it's just launching. They're running these kind of video stories that seem, I don't want to call it generic, but at least, you know, they're getting their feet wet. Like I'm not judging anything on it, but is it going to be a big push for digital? Is that a big part of the package? What have they told you guys about that?
I think we've kind of, like I said, you know, we kind of brought that up to them.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I'm kind of encouraged about is that, like, you know, they're open to ideas too. Right?
Yeah.
It's a two-way kind of street. You know, we did hire like a sports content person
for,
you know, to build out social media stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be able to kind of use all this stuff to, you know, ultimately get our stuff out there more, right? And kind of build a brand.
It's got to be part of it.
We have to, right?
And give people, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, with like The Athletic, for example, that does really good coverage, but in a maybe a different kind of way that like is a diehard, whatever, Dodger fan or Laker fan. Like, you know, I think what our aim is, at least what we're doing in sports, is we want to be the place, we want to be the place that like the most passionate fans of these teams want to come to read every day, because they know they're going to be getting all of the information that's happening around the team. They're going to be getting it in a way that's informative and engaging and interesting.
Yeah.
That there's not going to be things that are missed or questions that aren't asked or stories that aren't pursued.
Right.
And that, again, is the sense I get of what's happening across the newsroom at large. But at least in our sphere, like that's what's exciting about.
And not to blow smoke up your ass, right? But yeah. Like you did a good job of going to where the people were.
Right.
Right. Right. And that's why, I mean, nice studio, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, Seven Eckies. Thank you very much.
But, you know, I think that's kind of part of it too, right? Is that we gotta at least, you know, meet the consumer.
Where they are. Lee Ward, our old Daily Bruin media director or whatever, said vertical news is the news. It's right. De facto news nowadays, meaning people are always on their phone. That's where you got to talk to them and that's where you got to reach them. What kind of impact do you hope the California Post has, Dylan?
That we're, you know, again, at least I'm looking at this from like a very narrow Dylan centric perspective. And like Jack said, I want us to be the place where people come for the Dodger coverage.
Yeah.
Right. And hopefully that leads to.
That's crazy. Cause you're the Otani guy. You know, I mean, he's very close up, but right. Otani Yamamoto,
he's the Yamamoto interpreter like, underpants you're story
this
guy.
Is, again, I will say this, California Post is coming at such a good time. The opportunity will never be better than what they're doing right now. Okay. Cause the Dodgers are at their peak. The Rams are at their peak. Mayoral election this year, gubernatorial election this year, World Cup this year. I mean, entertainment in flux. And by the way, what I wanted to say about entertainment too is like, I wonder if they're going to do the Hollywood stars or are they going to have the fresh approach of like covering creators? And I'm not just saying that, but like, that's where entertainment is. Cause I know the younger generation, my wife's cousins, my son, his friends, they don't know George Clooney and Brad Pitt. They know, Cats and I, you know, like people like that. So I'm
to that point, right? The Puka Nacua thing recently, right? Where he invite now. You know, people my age were looking at who are these guys?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my son knows who they are.
Of course right? they like, do. Of course.
You know,
so it's got to be a big part of that. Now, what if this experiment fails?
Then I'm going to be living in a box under freeway overpass. I don't know.
I don't even want to call it experiment, but
I mean, but it is though, right? I mean, look, and I think, you know, I mean, look, I'm wagering my career on this.
Yeah.
Right. True. I mean, ultimately, that's what it kind of comes down
especially
to.
Especially right? your I mean, age. I don't mean that, but I mean, I'm
I really, it's, no, it's, I mean, yeah. I am. I'm older now. Like, I'm 40. Like, what else am I
going to do? Can I ask if they gave you a contract?
No. Okay. We're at will employees.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know.
Good job you taking a risk. That's a real risk.
It is. It's a risk. Woo. Right. And, you know.
You better bust your ass, man.
Right. Well, and I think that's the. I'm prepared for that, right? Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, obviously I cover the Dodgers, right? I was like the beat guy for like 8 seasons, you know. My wife remembers, you know, what that was like where I wasn't home for like a lot of times. And, you know, when we talked to our kids about this, we kind of sat them down. It was just like, hey, like, I'm not going to be home much now, right? Or as much as, you know, I was, you know, I mean, my son played with your kid in Sherman Oaks, right? I won't have time probably to drive him out to Sherman Oaks multiple times a week. Like, this is not going to happen now, right? And so, you know, I'm prepared to kind of do the work, I guess, that's going to require, you know, I mean, I'm treating this like it's a startup, right? And again, I think, you know, at the times, right, I had a certain kind of work volume that might have not been very heavy.
Yeah.
I think right now we planned the first 10 days after launch.
Yeah.
I think I'm writing for like the first 10 days. I can't remember the last time I wrote 10
days
in a row.
Going full Dodgers, are you diving right into Dodgers, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've given us a lot to write about, so.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? I can't, you know, I mean, I'm expecting to be working more because I understand, right? We don't have as big a staff as we did at the Times, at least not yet.
But they got to build it.
Right.
If the California Post wants to do it right, you cannot just tiptoe.
Right.
And you can't just hire these big deal, big dollar, talented writers. You're going to need some scrappy young people and filling out the staff.
And I think
they need
a
lot.
Right, and that's the thing, too, is like, and I think that they're going to need me to, right, produce, like, involved. Yeah, you know, and that's one of the reasons.
Ooh.
Right. I think we hired like Ben Bolch Bolch, right? Who's the UCLA guy.
Yeah.
Covered UCLA at the Times. Great. Right. Reporter.
Absolutely.
You know, we hired him to kind of
Rose
be
Rose Bowl, SoFi situation. Right. That's so all Bolch. Yeah.
Right? And he's actually.
What a year. I mean, the timing is right if they invest.
Yeah. And we just hired him to be kind of like our college sports columnist.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I think that was very appealing about Ben was the fact that like he's got this crazy motor. Right. Yeah. He can write like every single day. Right. I mean, even when he was at the Times, I think he went once like 60 days without a day off because he didn't have like a backup or something. But I think, again, I think it's going to be important that, right, the higher profile people don't just kind of write like the impactful stuff, but are just like that we're constantly there. We got to produce.
And again, that's why to me, speaking for myself, why The Athletic just never really filled that void for me, because there just wasn't enough content to consume. Again, it was good content, but you know, in 2026, people need a lot, and they need a lot of video. Are you prepared to do a lot of video? Are you guys being asked or required to do stories when you're, like I'm saying, like an Instagram story when you're covering a game, or video on your own without necessarily the content team of the California Post?
No, there will be plenty of that. I think that's one thing the New York Post actually does pretty well, at least in their sports, is like you go on their site and it is a lot more than just
big words on a screen. Yeah.
And again, that's like for us where it comes to meeting your audience, I think serving people that care about the Dodgers with this information in a way that is hopefully going to be more accessible and just a little bit more like easier to digest, easier to get to, getting them in that habit of like, hey, if you come to our site, there's going to be everything that's going on about this team explained to you, put out in, you know, in a different way that's different than like a more traditional newspaper notebook or something that,
And here's the thing, right? Like, we want to do well, obviously, because we've staked our careers.
You're slightly, right?
Like, I can't stress that enough. Like, this isn't a situation where we're sitting around looking at each other like, okay, what's the least we can do and get away
right,
with it?
Right.
Least we can do means we're going to be out of work in a couple of years, right? So, look, you know, and again, I would encourage anybody that has any kind of ideas that might work for us, like to let us know, right? I mean, I think I've gotten ideas from just talking to you, you know, other people that kind of read the paper.
Come local, flood it with resources, go video heavy, just put everything out there. Don't make us look for you. Get in my face because your coverage is good. Your coverage is great. You're both good writers, but people also are going to need to see more of you. And I think the one thing going back to the LA Times, and actually say something positive about the LA Times, is one thing I loved was 404, like that Instagram feed, Tom Carroll, shout out the whole team, because that would get in my face. It would be unique coverage. It would be like different than what I'm reading in the paper, interesting, informative. And they pushed it out there. It seemed like the one thing that I was like, okay, the LA Times is at least somehow getting in my feed, and that was it. But they need to be creative and they need to be aggressive.
And I think as writers, right, honestly, like, again, we were, you know, you talk about the Hall of Fame vote. Right?
Yeah.
There is kind of this disinclination from making yourself the story. And I think a lot of us have problems like with social media, just in like, you don't want to seem like that guy, like that's like completely being like a self-promoter, right? And to be honest, like,
well, somebody's got to do it for you.
Yeah, though. Well, that's the thing, right? And I think we you're kind of starting to accept that, right? I mean, honestly, I was kind of, I don't know, surprised, I guess, right? Like when I announced that I was leaving the Times, just kind of the reaction to that. And that felt very weird to me, right? Yeah. Like, it's like, hey, like all of a sudden, like, look at me, you know? and so, look, I think to your point and about getting kind of into, right, people's faces a little bit more, I think we've got to be probably a little bit more diligent about that, right? I mean, I think, you know, Jack honestly is probably a little bit more conscientious about these things than I am. So it's going to be kind of up to him. Like, hey, we've got to record something right now, or we should do something right now.
Okay. It's necessary.
Yeah. You know, and again, I think, you know, he's in some ways he's become my editor now, right? I
mean,
no, he has, right? In terms of, you know, I'll ask him, like, what do you think I should write? You know, because I think he's gotten to know the business well enough now. Yeah. And I think we always kind of bounce stuff off each other. And when it comes to that type of stuff, he's definitely more in tune with the world than I am.
It's fair.
So if you don't see me on your feed enough, it's going to be Jack's fault.
All right.
I think I should be paid extra for having to be Dylan's like part-time editor.
Just got a promotion already. okay.
Well, I don't know about this take, Dylan.
Wrapping up real quick. I want to know, what does this move say about newspapers themselves? Because this is a big deal for anybody to come and be like, we're starting a newspaper, like in 2026.
I mean, I think it shows that a newspaper, and this is probably a more modern kind of newspaper structure.
Yeah.
But it's not dead. It's not without purpose. I think a big reason why printing a paper, which we're going to be doing at the Post, is a 7-day-a-week print product. Big reason why is things like the front page and the back page of things, like, they still matter. They still drive conversation. They still drive attention. And I think even when it comes to, you know, having a print product, like, even if the print audience now is smaller, the people that read it, they read it. And they, like, that is still a primary source of information for people. So, you know, it's a, but a venture like this, I think, also reflects the way that, like, the newspaper industry specifically is also changing, right? Where it is going to look a little bit different. And the way we're going to do our jobs is different than we did at the Times. And hopefully that, again, leads to better, more well-rounded, innovative kind of coverage, even within what is still going to be, you know, a somewhat traditional newspaper model.
I think in this right particular environment right now, it does kind of show to the maybe the importance of just kind of like diversification of the business, right? I mean, being part of the News Corp thing is going to help us, right? I mean, we've talked about, you know, maybe being able to use, for example, the Fox Sports studios
that's
to record our video podcast.
And they're on the same lot?
Yeah. Okay. It's right next door, right? And I think, right, it's like when the, you know, the O'Malley's own the Dodgers, right? And, you know, they were able to, right, back then family ownership was like a possible thing. The reality right now to be like a family owned team is very, very difficult, right? And we've seen in the last couple of decades with like the Lakers and, right, especially the last decade of just how they've kind of declined. It's really hard, right, to run like a business like that.
Lakers are different you know? Example, but I mean, $11 billion team though.
Yeah. But the fact that like they're under the Guggenheim umbrella now,
yeah,
I think is going to help, right? Rather than just kind of being owned by like the Buss family, right? And I think there are going to be like a lot of different levers that we're going to be able to pull. And maybe, you know, that's what newspapers need right now to be able to kind of survive.
I'll tell you this. This is from a book from 1840, Richard Dana, 2 years before the mast, which is about a Harvard graduate who sailed around Cape Horn to come to California during the Ranchero era and was one of the first people to write about it on a mass scale. It's actually really great because it gives the perspective of everything from the Pueblo of Los Angeles to San Diego to Monterey, all the California. It's a really, really good book. But he always talks about what a treat it was to get newspapers. And of course, 200 years ago, it was a little bit different. But I still think that this quote, it resonated with me, especially as a newspaper guy. But this is from Richard Dana 2 years before the mast, is there is nothing that compares to a newspaper. It is almost equal to clairvoyance. It gives you a snapshot of a place and time. And I think that that's why people that like newspapers love newspapers. And that's why it's important. And people who subscribe to newspapers, it's a big deal. And honestly, when somebody sends you a link for something on your phone, yeah, you get the info. But when you see the headline and you hold the newspaper, you're like, oh shit, this is a big deal. And I think that newspapers still are. And that's why the California Post is important, making inroads, doing something like this. And I think it's important. And I'm glad both of you guys are on board. As much as I'm maybe a little, I don't even want to say leery, but I'll be watching any kind of, you know, political slant/agenda. It's good that news is in the news, and it's good that somebody's making this big investment in journalism. Again, a lot of small local journalistic entities are doing a good job, but I do at least like to see the focus on news, and I'm wishing it success, and I'm wishing both of you guys success. Anything last you want to say, Dylan?
No, you know, January 26th, when, right?
Today.
Today. please visit californiapost.com. You know, you can subscribe and get home delivery if you want there. Yeah. You know, I think most of our stuff, there will not be a paywall, right?
Interesting.
You know, I think that the, God, I don't want to totally speak out of turn here, but I think we're putting some of the Page Six stuff, right? Like in a newsletter, I think.
Yeah, there will be.
Oh, newsletters are an important factor. Yeah.
But obviously the Page Six, right? Which is, you know, I would argue is kind of the, right? What led to the TMZ. I mean, it was like kind of the, you know, ground zero celebrity gossip stuff. I'm guessing we're going to do great there. We had a lot of great hires. You know, and again, we're, you know, hopefully it becomes the destination for sports fans in the coming years.
Jack,
did we make you a three paper guy after this?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to. Watch it and comment. And hopefully, future podcast episodes, I'm like, damn, the California Post. But yeah, so follow my man. Are you guys X accounts staying the same? Yeah, do you have any LAT verbiage?
No.
Because I know Bulch is LAT Ben Bulch, right? So it's curious. I think they let you change your handle.
I'm at by Jack Harris. Very basic.
That's a good one. Works. It's classic. It's
Dylan boring. O. Hernandez. Same thing.
Find them online. They're both on Instagram. But look, this is news. So X or whatever your news platform is the best way to go. All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining me. Jack, really awesome. Getting to meet you and see
you. Thanks for having me on, man.
Dylan, first return guest. Made it a good show.
What an honor.
Appreciate you guys. California Post. Check it out. It launches today. And it is the new paper in Los Angeles and California. All right, LA, it's been a minute.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.